In celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we decided to visit with some of the people whose lives are intertwined with the bay and the estuary. Come along and join Jack McNeil and Stanley Stern of the Baywood Navy as they reveal why they love the bay so much.
I'm Jack McNeil, a relatively recent resident of the area. I moved up here in 2005.
I'm Stanley Stern. I do a lot of music in this area, and I moved up here in 1998. I'm from the Baywood Navy, and we have about 27 boats, and we have a lot of events that go on. One of the big events is the Boats Art Concert that goes on right here on the pier in the summer on a high tide at noon, and we usually get about 60 or 70 boats coming down. And there's about an hour's worth of music, and we have the cookie boat, which is loaded with free cookies from the ladies of the Baywood Navy, and it's a grand time that everybody enjoys. One of our events is we were going to put every boat we could get out in the bay, just past the pier, in a formation that looks sort of vaguely like an anchor. And we chartered a plane to come over and take a picture. And wherever you were in the formation, there you would be. Well, we got in the formation, and this lady was in this tippy canoe, and she really didn't know what to do. Of course, it turned over, and she started screaming, "Help, help, save me, I'm drowning, I can't swim." And there are 80 boats around her, and everybody looked at her, and with one voice, they all said, "Stand up." And the water came up to about her middle, and covered with mud, but very ashamed, she just walked onto shore.
My expression is photography. What I try to do is to present how something felt. I know it's a bit of a reach, but I get into spots where I say, wow, I want to live forever right here. And one of my favorite spots is right down in Shark Inlet, which is at the very, very bottom of the bay. And if you get back in there in the morning, it is absolutely silent. The dunes block the waves, so you don't hear them. There is no sound from any highways or anything, and all you can hear is a few bird songs and the sound of your paddle. It's magical to me.
We are a little bit worried in the Baywood Navy. As you may not know, the bay is filling up, and there was a report that it's filling up with silt, mostly runoff from the farms that are around here, about 30 times faster than normal. We now see patches of dunes or land that is out of the water all the time because they do not dredge back in this area. So eventually we're going to lose this beautiful spot. Right now there are no plans that we know of to mitigate it. It's very expensive.
Yeah, the last dredging was the mouth, and the big dredging, they came all the way in and into the mouth of the State Park Marina. I've talked to the estuary people. I've asked them about this. As well, two problems. Money is one. The other one is, where do you put the spoils? Because bay bottoms are pretty foul. You have to take it a long way away. It just ups the expense a lot to manage to do it. One of the things that we do every summer is get some of our grandkids. They love to go out, and I have a large canoe that I can take out a couple kids in. I ferry them across the sand spit and then go back and get a couple more. They just go crazy here. They just absolutely love it.
Last week, I saw three people from St. Petersburg, Russia, and I said, "How did you find out about this place, Tvarishchi?" I speak a little Russian. And they said, "Oh, we all know about it. We read it on the internet and talk about it." And the other day, there were four people from Paris, France. So I'm afraid this place is getting a little too well known.
It's interesting. During the summer particularly, it seems to be just past our peak summer season when the kids are going back to school. There's a lot of people from Europe and other parts of the world show up here. I do a lot of what I call docenting. You'll get people ask, "Well, where's a good place to hike?" I says, "Well, Montana de Oro. If you go beyond that, you can go out in Point Bouchon trails, rent a boat and go paddle on the bay."
Jack has got some really famous photographs. One of them is what we call the Stonehenge of the Pacific, which we don't tell to too many people, but it is there, and it looks like a Stonehenge set right in the ocean. You should know, and this is a big secret, every Monday to Saturday from 8 to 9, there is a meeting right at the coffee shop of the inner clique, the members of the Baywood Navy. And anybody who sits down with us immediately becomes a member of the Baywood Navy with the rank of admiral. Since nobody can give orders to anyone else, we're all admirals.
For my part, I'm kind of an endorphin junkie. When I get on the water, I feel deprived if I don't spend 4 or 5 hours and paddle for 10 or 15 miles. And if you do all the nooks and crannies of the bay, you can get in about a 12-mile paddle pretty easily. I don't paddle down the middle. I paddle along the edge.
I like sailing, and we have several pelicans, what they call San Francisco pelicans.
The harbor seals around the mouth of Choro Creek when the tide goes out are neat. I've got a lot of shots lately of the white pelicans, and people come, in fact, they come into the gallery and says, where are the white pelicans? And the other day I took one of our customers out to the back porch, and fortunately I said, look, right there on the end of that thing we call Grass Island, you can see a whole row of white birds. Those are white pelicans. If you look them up, they say they migrate and they're only here in the winter, but they're here all year long.
I've seen them. And we have occasional runs of sardines or anchovies right here, right off the pier. And you can see my favorites are the brown pelicans, because the brown pelicans are the diving ones. And they circle like fighter planes in the air, and they spot something and boom, down and back up again.
I've got a story. I've been back in Shark Inlet a couple of days, and I'd explain that one of the boats I paddle, very narrow, very tippy, and I was back in there and got in amongst, they call them shovel-nose sharks or guitar fish, and I was getting thumped by them with them trying to get out of my way. So I've seen them back there. I have been in a narrow channel with a bunch of leopard sharks, and one day I was back in Shark Inlet, and a baby bat ray flipped up onto the eelgrass, and it was kind of pinkish color, like it had just hatched, and then it flipped back in, so it was okay. But there's a lot of wildlife in this area. You just have to be quiet and aware of it. The otters are great. In fact, I went out one day in my canoe and just said, I'm just going to collect trash today. I finally just got whipped, and I pretty much filled up the front of the boat, and I brought it in here and unloaded it on the end of the pier. And it's shotgun shells, bottles. Some of the wildlife encounters, I get into a lot of those because I'm so close to the surface and I'm quiet. One day I was paddling along a relatively shallow area, sandy bottom. I was maybe in 3 feet of water, and I looked, and there was a bat ray right under my canoe, and its wingtips were coming up on each side. It only lasted just for seconds, but then it was gone. But it was really fascinating, you know, how close you can get to some of the stuff. The only place that even comes close is Elkhorn Slough, and that's another national estuary. So,
too much development, and you're going to lose the beauty of this wonderful, peaceful spot.
Ever notice how the kids just love to collect sand dollars all up and down the beach? Well, in the bay, down relatively near the mouth, there are millions of sand dollars. And you see spots where they look like they're stacked like coins on edge. And, of course, a live sand dollar is a flat sea urchin, so they've got spines. They're just all over the place. And people never think about, well, that thing on the beach is the skeleton of an animal. Just a few years ago, and I'm not sure if the estuary folks have figured out or I've figured out, they suddenly seem to explode their population.
I think it's sort of like the abalone. There was so much abalone, they thought, never run out. Now there isn't any. And when the abalone goes, there's a possibility the otters are going to go disappear after that. Who knows what else is next.